Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Congresswoman Shelley Berkley will be here. We're going to go around the world with her. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Marita Black-Brothrow, Leslie Pittman, and Mike Hillaby. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Big spending, higher taxes, record deficits. Washington is out of control. Sue Loudon has taken on big spending career politicians before, and she'll do it again. A successful businesswoman, Sue Loudon wants big government to get out of the way so small business can invest, innovate, and hire again. Loudon's plan, spend less, borrow less, tax less, and no more bailouts. Sue Loudon for U.S. Senate.
I'm Sue Loudon, and I approve this message.
Welcome to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, just 10 minutes east of Sparks. We're proud that Walmart and other Fortune 500 companies have chosen Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center to relocate their businesses.
We have sites from under 5 acres to well over 500 acres, and with all of the amenities that every successful corporation requires. Welcome to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the largest industrial park in the world, and we're building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
This interview segment is sponsored by the Nevada Motor Transport Association. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome to the program Congresswoman Shelley Berkley. It's a pleasure to have you on the program.
Sam, and our first it's time my pleasure.
In front of each other. This
yes.
is great. You serve on a lot of foreign affairs areas.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you, the reports from the New York Times as we're taping this today on Saturday is that the surge in Afghanistan has gone very well, taking back a portion of southern Afghanistan. And this was a combination of British troops, American mm-hmm. troops, and Afghan troops. What do you think the chances are of the Afghans being able to hold this after we're gone?
It's going to be a challenge. Last October, actually, I was in Afghanistan because I wanted to see for myself what was going on the ground. And I think the biggest shock to me is when we were flying in and you look down and there is nothing. There's not a road, there's not a stream, there's not a home, there's not a farm. It's just vast nothingness. Now, I know that we are pinning our hopes on the fact that we can train the Afghans to be able to take over. When they stand up, we stand down. But I think we need to be optimistic because we want to bring our troops home. But this is heavy lifting. Few times it hasn't gone so well.
What are your concerns about the government of Afghanistan, the president of Afghanistan? It's so corrupt.
It's a very corrupt regime. I'm very conflicted with Afghanistan. I have never not voted to support our troops. When you have your young men and women out in the field, the least you can do back home is to support their effort. But I'm conflicted with the Afghan war. Part of me wants to hunker down and get this thing done and bring our troops home after. And a part of me thinks, that this is just an exercise in folly. It's very costly and it's going to take us a while. And that concerns me a great deal.
Let's change countries and look at Iran. The theory was floated a week or so ago that Iran with nuclear weapons is a risk for the Palestinians as well as the Israelis. And does this give a chance for Middle East peace that we haven't seen before? And would that potentially have other countries in the area come around?
Well, Sam, this is an area that I know quite well.
Very well.
And, I sit on the Middle East subcommittee, and I've been to the region 17 times, both when I was in Congress and before I went to Congress. Iran, let me share with you what then Prime Minister Sharon said the last time he was here in the United States when he was asked a question about a nuclear Iran. What he said to me still lingers in my mind. He said a nuclear Iran is as much a threat to the United States and Europe and the Arab world as it is to Israel. And the rest of the world should not depend on little Israel to do its dirty work. Now, I agree with that sentiment. A nuclear Iran is not only a danger, because they have, it's an erratic regime, and you have, in my opinion, an unstable president and mullahs that are pulling his strings that are just as radical as he is. But in addition to that, you will find that if there is a nuclear Iran, that that will set off an arms race in the Middle East, the likes of which we have never seen ever in the world. The Egyptians will never allow the Iranians to have nuclear weapons while they don't. And the Saudis as well. And as a matter of fact, there are 14 Arab nations that are now examining the possibility of starting their own nuclear weapons program. That is a dangerous, destabilizing possibility, not only for that region, but for the entire world.
But do you see, going back to my original question, any benefit for the Israeli-Palestinian situation?
I think that's heavy lifting also. Look, until the Palestinians and the rest of the Arab world recognize Israel's right to exist, it's going to be very difficult to sit at a peace table and negotiate peace. How do you negotiate with people that refuse to recognize that you exist? So I think that's number one. Ending the terrorism, which is tamped down dramatically after the invasion of the Gaza. But I think the main thing is coming to terms with the fact that Israel exists. It's in the Middle East, it's where it belongs, and it has a right to exist.
Let me ask you this. When you said that a nuclear Iran is a threat to the United States, do you mean because of oil, or do you believe that they would, you know, that they would have the ability at some point to actually threaten the United States, which seems unlikely?
Well, I don't think, you know, as the only remaining superpower in the world, we have a very far reach. Now, I'm not suggesting that the Iranians would launch a nuclear attack on the United States. I think that is not a very viable possibility. But they, as you know, they're state sponsors of terrorism. They support Hezbollah in Lebanon. They support Hamas in the Gaza. They support terrorism across the country.
I guess I'm just saying the direct...
Dirty bombs. I mean, having a nuclear program can give Iran an extraordinary amount of influence, including disseminating this type of material, nuclear material, to Hezbollah, to Hamas, to the working with the North Koreans.
Let me throw this out again. But doesn't that bring us into a Cold War kind of situation where if everybody has nuclear weapons, then the threat of somebody using them, if the Iranians were to do any of those things, they would be wiped out instantaneously.
Well, you're also presuming that they're rational, and there's a rational thought behind this. I'm suggesting to you that this might not be at all rational in their thinking, and that makes them very dangerous. That's why I am a very strong believer in sanctions. You do everything possible to keep Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons, and you take nothing off the table.
And they say that at this point that they have enriched enough materials.
They are moving very rapidly towards a nuclear, well, they have a nuclear program, but they're moving very rapidly towards a weaponization program. And that's, I think, very dangerous for the entire world, not only the United States.
Let's talk about don't ask, don't tell. About time?
I think so. I was never in favor of don't ask, don't tell. Of course, that was implemented before I went to Congress. But I think, and judging from the reaction of our military, that they believe its time has come and gone, and it's time to move forward.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Congresswoman Shelley Berkley after this.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
I'm attorney Marilyn York. We only seek men as clients. If you are a man burdened by divorce, please visit our website at www.marilynyork.net to learn more about your rights. We are Reno's largest exclusive divorce and family law firm.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
Championship courses and life's distractions fading away.
Join the area's best locals program, the Talon Club at Red Hawk.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background checks, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So, do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and we protect men. You deserve a fair financial settlement and time with your children.
If you need an attorney that gives a damn, call 324-7979 or visit MarilynYork.net for all your family law needs.
This interview segment is sponsored by the Nevada Motor Transport Association. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Congressman Shelley Berkley. Let's change topics here to health care,
okay.
One of your great passions as well. Picking up the pieces of where we are, how do we go forward with this?
That's also a challenge. And, you know, I think the nature of this interview demonstrates the enormous challenges that this nation faces right now in the dawn of the 21st century. First, let me tell you that my husband is a doctor and my stepdaughter is a doctor. She is a doctor. So I deal with healthcare issues not only in my professional political life, but of my personal life at home. We have a health care problem in this country. 47 million Americans do not have any health care. Let me bring that closer to home. There's 460,000 of our fellow Nevadans that have no health care.
Because of the limited amount of time we have, specifically, what do you think the Congress can accomplish this year? And it's going to need to be done with the help of the Republicans, correct?
Well, let me tell you what I think is going to happen. And I'm hoping that our Republican colleagues come along with us. You end the antitrust exemption for insurance companies. You allow them to sell across state lines with state regulation, so there's not a race to the bottom where they go to states that have absolutely no regulation whatsoever. You end the lifetime cap. I've got 10-year-old kids, juvenile diabetics, that come to my office in Washington. They've already exceeded their lifetime caps. They're 10 years old. This has to be taken care of. And end the pre-existing condition. I would say that is a very healthy, important start. What I would also like to see is that we talk about prevention. And, you know, the three major causes of chronic illness in this country, obesity, lack of exercise, and cigarette smoking. Let's work on programs to get that under control, and then you'll see the cost curve bend.
Is there any chance of tort reform?
You know what?
Because that's what it's going to take to bring the Republicans closer.
I do believe that the things that we talked about are easy to pass. I think tort reform is a little more challenging. You know, I asked my husband. Very challenging. I asked my husband recently because, you know, Nevada has tort reform. I asked him, I said, well, did the tort reform in Nevada bring down your malpractice insurance payments? And he said that, yes, there's been a savings of $5,000 a year. Now, is that a huge amount of money? No. Is it a significant amount of money that made a difference to him and his practice? Yes, it was. So I think we need to have a dialogue on this, bring the parties together. We have to protect people that have a legitimate problem that need to redress their grievances in a court of law. You cannot take that away from an American citizen, but you also have to provide relief for doctors that are getting sucked into lawsuits of which, quite frankly, they should not be a part of.
Were you surprised that former Congressman Billy Tozen stepped down as the head of pharma? Because of the deals that he had cut to get things done
and
the $150 million advertising campaign that went along with it?
Shocked? No. I think this was horrible from the start. When he was still a member of Congress and we were dealing with the donut hole and the prescription medication deals that were cut that I voted against, he had a, in my understanding, that he already had a job lined up with pharma and he carried
passed what
water.
They call the Tozen Law after
it
that.
It was outrageous, and he should have never taken that job, and I'm glad he stepped down.
Okay, let's talk about Senator Ensign. Dean Heller on this program a couple of weeks ago said that he had grave concerns about Senator Ensign and his presence in the Nevada delegation, the ability to get things done, the problems with the media, and not wanting to talk about Nevada issues, but only have the opportunity to go after Senator Ensign. What are your thoughts on all of this? What advice do you have for Senator Ensign?
Well, listen, he didn't seek my advice before, and he's not seeking my advice now. Look, there's five members in the Nevada delegation. We have to work together, and we all have to work on behalf of the people
is
of the state of Nevada.
At this point?
I think he's been significantly reduced in his influence. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. I don't want to louse this man up any more than he's already loused himself up, to tell you the truth, but the reality is he's been very compromised, and I'm not sure what he could deliver for the people of the state of Nevada. I mean, he's continuing in his job. I don't begrudge him that, but he's got some challenges ahead of him, and frankly, so do the state of Nevada. We need two strong senators, and we need three and hopefully four strong members in the United States Congress as well.
But you don't feel we have two strong senators right now?
I would say that his effectiveness and ability to deliver for Nevada have been somewhat compromised and downgraded.
You're running for re-election for your seat in Congress for 2010. Do you plan to challenge him in 2012?
I would
say
this,
Sam. If he chooses to run.
I am seeking re-election. And that's what I'm working on now. And after the election, I'll take a good look at it. I think I would be disingenuous with you if I said it hasn't crossed my mind. And right after the scandal hit, I always used to wonder when people used to say, when you hear politicians say, oh, my phone's been ringing off the hook. People have been asking me to get in this race. And all these years, I've been waiting for my phone to be ringing off the hook. I can say without fear of contradiction, after the scandal became public, that my phone was ringing off the hook, and something that I had not considered until then became a possibility. So we'll wait and see what happens.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much.
Sam,
I look forward
thanks.
To seeing you in person again.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. For a quick bite and the best sandwiches in town, it's the Whistle Stop Deli. And for the best appetizers and menu selections and a large variety of cocktails, beer, and martinis, it's Sully Sports Bar and Grill. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun, just north of the Summit Sierra on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway and Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
It's a double down tent event at Internet Auto Rented Sales. Bring us $2,000 and we'll double it to $4,000. Bring us $4,000 and we'll double it to $8,000 down. With hundreds of late model cars, trucks, and SUVs in stock, there's no better place to buy. And with our double down offer, there's no better place to spend your tax return. It's the double down tent event, and it's going on this week at Internet Auto Rented Sales.
What's in a name? At DiLoreto Homes, it's everything.
It's pride in workmanship, it's quality in every detail.
And most of all, it's who we are. Hi, I'm Teresa.
And I'm Michael.
Right now, we're selling a limited number of paired homes starting at $192,000 while refusing to lower our standard features.
To name just a few, we include granite slab kitchen countertops, 9-foot ceilings, and on-demand tankless water heaters.
Compare and see the difference. That's DiLoreto Homes at Damani Ranch.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Mike Hillerby is here, Executive Vice President for Wingfield Nevada Group, Farida Black Prothro with Nevada Arrhythmia Services, and Leslie Pittman, Principal with Sierra Strategies. So the governor has come out with the numbers, some fine reporting this morning from Anjanette Damon with the Arrhythmia Gazette Journal and Ed Vogel from the Las Vegas Review Journal. What's your initial response to the governor's plan?
Well, it's clearly going to have to, I think the legislature is going to have a really difficult time doing all of that without really angering some core constituencies. They're going to want to make some changes to that. And we don't see some pretty important issues yet anyway, like the race to the top funding for education, some kind of potential fix to the recent Supreme Court decision on water, which as much as it's been magnified to talk about that impacting Southern Nevada Water Authority, they're the tip of the iceberg. Every little rural farmer, every business, everybody out there has got permits waiting in the wings,
including
that are likely
mining.
Including mining, including lots of businesses and individuals, including some legislators.
Okay, so let me try to break this down. As a former chief of staff to Governor Gwynn, how is this being played?
By the governor?
By the governor.
I think, you know, the executive branch is very strong here. We've all known that. So you've got the bully pulpit, and you lay it out, and he's talked about a new vision for Nevada. I think he's got a serious problem right now when he's talked about, including in that, raising mining taxes and some other things that Chuck Muth, people on both sides are saying, hey, that's a tax increase. Any way you cut it, that's a tax increase. That is going to be difficult for him.
Your thoughts on this?
Well, outside of the elimination of some of the mining deductions, I don't think there were a lot of surprises in the governor's proclamation that was released yesterday. That's what he indicated during his State of the State that he was going to put forward. I think the legislature most definitely is going to take that and then put their own blueprint on it. I think you'll see a lot of changes in Carson City during the course of the special session. So, you know, those changes are yet to be determined, but I think that at the end of the day, it's going to, the fix for this budget crisis is going to look very different from what the governor has proposed.
Well, and one of the things, too, is that the governor can continue to put other things into this. He has the ability to do that, so the things that Mike was mentioning, like Race to the Top, could be included, correct?
Correct. It'll be really interesting, though, to see what the final product looks like. I think it'll look very different, but I think this is exactly what the governor had to do. I really don't think that there were a whole lot of options for him than to do exactly what he did. Now the legislature has to step in and do their part.
The sad part is this is a minor league warm-up to what we're going to face a year from now.
Right.
This is not compared to what next year is going to look like.
To say the least, Stephen Horsfood said yesterday, very angrily apparently, that it was irresponsible, mean-spirited, and calculated to win re-election. He said the proposals would cut public school spending by more than $200 million, which he called unacceptable. Your thought?
My thought is I think that the data and the research shows that investing in education in our state reaps enormous dividends in the long term. And I think that's where he's coming from, is that we're cutting off our nose to spite our face in an already underfunded system. To cut it back even further, it's going to take us that much longer to recover as a state.
Okay, so where do you find the money if you're going to do that?
Well, I think the political environment is such that they're going to be loath to do much of anything for taxes and fees. They're scared about what's going on with the Tea Party, you know, potentially being obviously even recognized as a third party now in Nevada and running candidates. Everybody's on the run. Everybody's scared. They don't know what to make of this movement. They don't know what to make about the recent election in Massachusetts. A lot of Democrats nationally not running. The appetite and the ability to raise taxes and fees is going to be really minimal. You've got to remember all the legalities and the oddities in here. It's not a matter of whether the governor vetoes something. He doesn't have to do that while they're there. They send him a bill, they sign a die, they go home, he does what he wants, he can call them back. He can cut them off for 30 days or more at a time from fundraising. So there's a lot of leverage on that end. But the longer this goes on, the worse it is for everybody, because then people start really reacting emotionally and out of anger, and that's not a good way to govern.
All right, so Verita, at this point, you know, I've heard everything from a couple of days to 2 weeks for the special session. How long do you think it's going to be?
I'm on the longer end. I just don't think they could do that in a couple of days. at all. I just don't think it's possible. But again, you know, going back to what Mike said about the political climate, that's why I think that the governor really didn't have a choice, being Republican governor in this climate, than to put out the kind of proclamation that he did. But I sincerely hope that the legislature doesn't do the kinds of things that are proposed for education.
Okay, now what they're doing as far as mining goes is looking at deductions that the mining industry has gotten. Tim Crowley, the head of the Mining Association, not happy about that at all. And a lot of people, as Mike pointed out, like Chuck Muth, are saying that this goes against the governor's No New Taxes program. The governor denies that it's an increasing tax. How do you think this plays out politically for the governor? Because he's had this bully pulpit now.
Right.
And continues to have it, but if he's not doing what he said,
well,
what's left?
I think anybody in the business community logically will equate any sort of elimination of tax deductions as a tax increase. So that we've had these conversations in the gaming industry for many, many sessions. So I think, though, but what I'm hearing on the legislative end is that there is an appetite to take a look at the deductions that mining enjoys. I mean, they can deduct for marketing expenses. I don't know any other industry that has that capability. But, and I also think, you know, you have this ballot initiative moving forward. You've got, a lawsuit that's been filed. There is an appetite among the electorate to do something and to get mining to pay more. Now, no one's ever been a big fan. Well, I've certainly never been a big fan of industry-specific taxes. I think, you know, everybody needs to contribute in some fashion. But again, I don't see that happening this special session. You know, it's interesting when you're talking about the length of the session is that before special sessions previously, a solution was hammered out. They went in for a day, hammered it out, and Sine died for the special. I don't see that happening this year. This session, it's an election year. There's a significant animosity between the legislature and the governor's office. And so I think it's going to be...
If you're coming to Carson City, get a lease, not a reservation.
Exactly.
And that's where we have to label. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
If you have back pain, arthritis, fibromyalgia, tendonitis, any kind of joint and muscle pain or stiffness at all, you finally have a safe, effective relief. Dr. Frank's homeopathic joint and muscle pain relief.
I had a lot of fear that I would be crippled at a very young age. It was a miracle that I found something safe and that had such dramatic pain relief.
Dr. Frank's is all natural. Just spray here and stop all your pain everywhere. For the first time ever, these 10 homeopathic ingredients have been combined in a revolutionary oral spray that stops inflammation, pain, and stiffness.
I pretty much quit tennis just because of the pounding. Since using this spray, my pain and tenderness and swelling and soreness and stiffness has gone.
If you have any kind of joint and muscle pain or stiffness, Dr. Frank's Joint and Muscle Pain Relief is the safe, all-natural relief you've been searching for.
I have no pain in my knees, no sciatica, and I'm pain-free.
I'm Dr. Ken Frank. I'm a medical doctor. There is a safe way to stop your pain, and I guarantee that your daily aches and pains, whether mild or severe, will stop or significantly decrease with this formula.
Start living your life pain-free. Try safe, effective Dr. Frank's risk-free. Call now and get a 200-spray trial bottle for only $19.95.
It was as though someone has given me an electric shock that went up the arm, and I could not do that. Now, I can't get that pain no matter how far I turn my arm. And now I'm playing tennis again.
Call now and spray away your pain in days. Call now for your risk-free trial bottle of Dr. Frank's Joint and Muscle Pain Relief. Ask how to double the supply for free. And also ask how to get for free Dr. Frank's 100-page book about natural and safe pain relief without drugs.
Call now. 1-800-572-9269. 1-800-572-9269. That's 1-800-572-9269.
Dr. Frank's Pain Relief really works.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures.
On our next broadcast, Chris Comfort. He's the state chairman of the Nevada Republican Party.